second night of Hanukkah. Geweldig. Because the topic is called the Kabbalah of Hanukkah. It was mostly called that, actually, because the first class was called the Laws of Hanukkah, and I liked the movement from one to the other with just one word change. But, in fact, what I'm going to speak about does have to do with Kabbalistic notions that relate directly to the experience of Hanukkah. So let's begin. We could really begin this conversation in many different ways. But let's begin the conversation. You can just put it right there on the chair in between you and Avishai.
Sorry.
Let's begin the conversation with a very famous question. When my brother spoke here about 10 days ago, he mentioned this question as well. It's a very famous question asked by the Beis Yosef. He asks, why is it that Hanukkah is celebrated for 8 days, when in fact the miracle, the miraculous element of Hanukkah, is 7 days? Because for 1 day the oil should have lasted. But it's 7 days that the oil lasted beyond the natural realm. And so it would seem that the 7 days are the miraculous, and there should have been 7 days celebrating the miracle. And not 8. So Yaakov suggests that the whole reason is because Hanukkah is more geschmack by having an 8th day. Okay, so we're going to explore perhaps another answer. There are many answers offered to this question. In fact, there are svarim written with over 100 answers to this question.
Do we have one?
No.
I can just bring it in and hand the book and I'll get 20 million tickets to answers for the question.
Okay, so I'm going to take us on a long journey to an answer to this question. And the journey begins in Al HaNisim. There's a paragraph that we say in Shemoneh Esrei, and in benching throughout Hanukkah, that thanks Hashem for the performance of this miracle. And the way the paragraph is structured is exactly the same as the paragraph that we say on Purim. So it's Al HaNisim. We both say paragraph Al HaNisim on Purim and on Hanukkah. But the particulars, after we say upon the miracles in general sense that happened in this time of year, in those days, we begin with a setting. Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Chashmonai Uvanov. And it happened in the time of Matisyo, the son of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, and his children, etc. That the Greeks stood up against us. And they wanted to do the following. Following is, in their case, they wanted to eradicate the Torah, make us forget the Torah, and not follow the statutes of Hashem. And then the paragraph says, Ve'ata berachamecha harabim, and you in your great mercy, and it goes on to describe how Hashem fought on our behalf, won us a great victory. Then we returned, after the great victory that was miraculous, we returned to the Beis HaMikdash, and we cleaned it out, and we lit candles. And then it says these words. After the description of the miracle, which ends with V'hidliku neros b'chatzros kachecha, and they lit candles in your holy courtyards, it says, V'kavu shmona simei Chanukah elu lehodos
u'lehalel l'shem chagadol. But it wasn't in the courtyards.
It must mean other candles besides the candle of the menorah. But you're right, very good. So it says, and they established these 8 days of Hanukkah to thank and praise your great name. So there's a description of the story, and then it says, and this Yontif was established. But we do not have that in the Purim paragraph. The Purim paragraph is almost exactly the same. It says, in the days of Bimei Mordechai v'Esther, B'Shushan Abira, it sets the setting. It was in the days of Mordechai and Esther, B'Shushan Abira. Kisha Amar Aleihem, almost the same phrase. When he stood up against them, Haman HaRasha, the great evil man Haman. He wanted to destroy all of us. Did you pass it down more?
Oh boy, you're watching, aren't you? Yes.
Thank you. Here, I'm going to do it like this. I'm going to make you serve. You can serve. Why don't you take on the way back? Okay?
May you send me the plate on the beach and I got mine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so now.
You think you're getting this back? Is that what you said?
What?
You think you're getting this back?
You may as well just eat with the spoon.
Remember, we're recording. Remember, everybody, we're recording.
Oh, we're recording.
So,
well, they'll know what they missed.
Exactly. So in the Purim story, it says, again, Kisham Adalim. Then it says at the turning point, the Atabar Achamecha Harabim, and you and your abundant mercy. And in the case of the Purim story, follow me, I'll read it to you in full. It says, Hey Farta es Atsoso. You annulled his plan. The Kilkalta es Machashavto. And you made crooked his intention, his thoughts. Vashevoso lo gimulo barosho, and you brought back upon him on his head what he intended to do to us. Vesalu oso vesbanov al ha'etz, and he and his sons were hanged on the tree. But there's no next line, v'kavu yom purim zeh l'simcha, or whatever they were. There's no line like that. Mm-hmm. The Chanukah paragraph ends with this line, and they establish the Chanukah. But the Purim paragraph does not. Now it's a good kasha because we have no proof that they are the same writer per se, although it's very likely that they're the same writer. But if they're not the same writer, one's modeled after the other. Because they're almost identical. Be made this one who stood up against, the Ata Baracha Mecha Harabim, you and your great mercy. I mean, probably they're the same writer, but maybe they're not. But whoever wrote this one certainly modeled it after that one, and they're almost perfectly symmetrical, but the Purim one is missing this line. So the answer to this question is that I heard this question and answer from my teacher, Rabbi Yaakov Darmoni, in Yerushalayim.
What's the question? Why are they missing this line?
Why is the Chanukah have this extra line that the Purim doesn't have? So my Rabbi, Rabbi Yaakov Darmoni, once answered it like this. That really, they have exactly the same structure. The structure is identical. It says in one, these bad guys wanted to do X to us, and you made them unsuccessful, and you punished them mida keneged mida. You punished them corresponding to that which they wanted to do, you punished them. That's the whole structure of both. In the case of the Purim story, the structure is as follows. He wanted to kill all of us on this on said day. Not only does it then say, but you did not allow him to be successful, it goes on to say that which he wanted to do, just leave it out, that which he wanted to do, you brought back on his head. You see, Haman was not simply unsuccessful. He was also punished with the lack of success. Had he left Klal Yisrael alone, Hashem would have left him alone. But Hashem, in his salvation of the Jewish people, did not stop at destroying, and not about saving Klal Yisrael. This one wanted to kill us, and he went and said, no. If you want to kill my children, then that's what you get, is what he said to Haman. Mida keneged mida, this corresponding to that. The Chanukah story is, of course, a very famous reality that it's an exception. It's different than all the other Yomim Tovim. You see, the sages of that generation, it's really a question on them why they didn't establish a meal for Chanukah, or meals. Every yontif in the Torah's Yom Tovim have meals.
I feel like we're going steps away from...
We're coming back. I promise.
I just had a quick question besides that. They also wanted to kill the Jews in the Chanukah time, just like Haman wanted to kill the Jews.
Oh, I'm coming to that. I'm coming to that.
Okay.
Hold the question.
No way.
In the time of every holiday has a meal, right? There's yontif meals, and the prophets and sages of the generation. Yes, there is even there for Yom Kippur. There's a meal called the Sudum of Sekes.
Right.
So the prophets and sages of the generation of Purim, they also established a meal. It's a yontif, so they established the Purim Suda. But Chanukah is the only holiday that does not have a required meal. In fact, as my brother also pointed out when he spoke here, the Mechaber of Yosef Karo, in his description of the Yontif, says at the very beginning of the Yom Tov description, it's the second line, the meals that people eat on Hanukkah are not required. You know, they're just, we have no obligation to wash and say hamotzi and bench on all of Hanukkah. So why is that? The reason is because Hanukkah is very different than all the other holidays. I'm sure you know the famous Jewish joke, right? I'm sure we've said over the years many times. The famous joke that it says, here, just pass it down. So it says, I mean, the joke goes, there's a Jewish comedian that said that every Jewish holiday can be summed up in 9 words. They tried to kill us. We won. Let's eat. Okay? But it's not really true. Because this is a very important point based on what you asked, Reb Zev. In the story of Hanukkah, they did not try to kill us. There was not a threat to Jewish life. They would have been thrilled to let the Jews stay alive. It was completely unlike Haman. Haman was not asking for Klal Yisrael to convert or assimilate. Haman said, I don't care what you do. If you come from Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, I want you out of here. Like his spiritual progeny in the mid 20th century. I want you dead, was Haman's message. Lahashmid, laharogu, la'abid, eskala Yehudim. To wipe everybody out, to kill them. In the Hanukkah story, there was never a threat to the lives of Jews. The threat was to the souls of Jews. They were thrilled to have you stay around and be part of the Hellenistic culture and the expanding Hellenism. That's what they wanted. But if you chose not to, then there was oppression. But they did not want to kill the children of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. They want to kill the Yiddishkeit.
They want their deity to be spread about, I guess.
Right.
They want to worship the same way.
Right. You think of it like this. We saw it also in the Soviet Union. In other words, the Soviet Union was not a threat to Jews' lives because they were Jewish people, they were Hebrews. The threat to them was that we can't have you practicing your Judaism.
Talkman said this at the Holmes
place. So why are so many Jews communists?
That's a fine question. It's not really.
I know the answer, but
yeah, but it's far from this.
Wait, what
topic.
What was your question?
It doesn't matter. Okay.
We'll talk later.
You'll talk later. On bull number 4 or 5. You can, over bull number 4 or 5, you can talk about that. All right, so now.
I'm not having
dinner. Yonatan, you want something to eat? Okay. Oh, hold that. I hold that thought. Don't translate it. Just hold it. We're going to come back to it. Okay? So now, the meals on Hanukkah are not obligations because it doesn't, they don't, they can't be, it doesn't make, it wouldn't, you wouldn't be showing anything. You wouldn't be proving anything by having a meal. You see, on Purim, where Haman wanted to kill you and me, and now you come to the day and you're eating and you're saying, you wanted me dead, but here I am eating. Eating is an example, is an illustration of biological life. I'm alive. I eat, I drink, I procreate, whatever I do, I'm a human being, I'm alive. By Hanukkah, there would be no accomplishment by eating because he was happy to let you eat. He was happy to let you eat. You can eat whatever you want. Good, better, just as long as you're not going to be Jewish. Antiochus and all the Yevonim, they never came to attack our reality of being alive. They came to attack us in terms of what kind of life we would live. This is fundamental to Hanukkah. This is the essence of Hanukkah, really, this point. And so there are no meals. Now, how does this answer the really what was already the second question you asked? We didn't even get back to the first question yet. Second question is, why does the Seva Kavu Shmonas Yimei Chanukah Elu? They establish these 8 days. The answer is as follows. Just like by Haman, he wanted to kill us, so what happened was, he was not only not successful, but Hashem punished him. Mida Keneged Mida. Also by the Yevonim. The Greeks wanted to destroy the Torah. So Hashem not only made them unsuccessful, that they did not destroy the Torah, and that the Yomim Tovim and the observances of the Jews remained, but He expanded the observances and the Yomim Tovim and the Torah of the Yidden. There was this much Torah, so to speak, before they attacked us. Then they attacked us, and the Torah grew to include the Kavu Shmoneh Shmei Chanukah Elu, that they established these 8 days. That's the punishment to the Greeks. It's not just that the Torah remained the way it was. It's the Torah that you want to destroy has grown. That's the punishment to the Greeks. You don't need that line by Purim, because the punishment to Haman is that he died. The punishment to the Greeks is that the Yontif of Hanukkah was established.
It's Mida Keneged
Mida.
Well, was there ever a time that we didn't punish the people who tried to hurt us? In ancient history?
No.
I mean, so I don't understand why that's such a big deal, that they'll punish Mida Keneged Mida.
It's not. It just answers the question, why the line of establishing Hanukkah is here when there's no line about establishing Purim? Because the line of establishing Hanukkah is equal to the line, and Haman was killed on the gallows. That it's the Mida Keneged Mida versus Mida Keneged Mida. Okay.
But we still haven't addressed the 8th day.
We haven't addressed it yet.
Okay.
So now we're gonna plumb into that.
I think I can know that even though I'm eating, I'm listening.
No problem. I can tell. Okay, we're gonna plumb right into that right now. There is another holiday. My brother also spoke about this element. There is another holiday that is closely related to Hanukkah. Which is it?
Sukkot.
How do you know?
Because I heard it this year.
Because I heard it this year. Very good. You know how we know everything that we know? Everything we know is because we heard it from this year. Really. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke... Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Yeshua, etc. Everything we know we learned from somebody or someplace. Right? In fact, I want to tell you something very important.
Not this year.
One of the great...
You're looking to say for
exactly, and I want to tell you something very important. One of the great mistakes that people make in American life is that if I saw it written, it's more true than if I heard it said.
I agree.
There's an assumption...
Someone could lie.
If it's on the internet, it must be...
So can somebody who wrote lie.
Yeah, but
today it's so
starting.
Easy... It doesn't matter. Maybe it's not accurate. In other words, but when you hear from somebody who's reliable, it's the same as reading in a sefer.
Maybe they write in a sefer.
Fine. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying there's an illusion that, oh, it was in the newspaper, therefore it's true. Oh, it was on a website, therefore it's true. Oh, it was in a book, therefore it's true. That's just an illusion. Maybe it's true. Maybe it is.
I see.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
It wouldn't be written if someone didn't write it.
People feel it's written, therefore it's the written word. Yeah, sure. Could be. But maybe also not. Okay, so you heard it in a shir. So Sukkot and Hanukkah are related. How? Firstly, they're both 8-day holidays. From the Torah...
So is Pesach.
No, because from the Torah, Pesach is only 7 days.
Oh.
And the 8th day comes later. But the Torah describes a first day of Sukkot, a second day of Sukkot, a third day in the Karbonos and Pinchas, until it comes to the 7th day. And then after the 7th day, it just says, Uvayom HaShmini, and on the 8th day. Now, Chazal described to us that this day called Yom HaShmini, this 8th day, is both a continuation of Sukkot and a yontif by itself. And it's a yontif by itself for various things, called Shmini Atzeres. It's a yontif by itself. The Gemara lists 6 different ways that it's a yontif by itself, and that's why we say Shechiyanu then. Whereas in the last day of Pesach, we don't say Shechiyanu, because it's not a yontif to itself, it's not a new yontif. But by Shmini Atzeres, we say a Shechiyanu. But on the same time, the fact that it's called Shmini Atzeres is a proof that it's not its own thing. Because if it was it's the 8th of what? Exactly. It's not the 8th of the month.
It would be Rishoni.
It's the 22nd of the month. So, it's the 8th of an 8-day series. On the 8th day.
Should be
7. So they both are 8. So both are 8. But moreover, Beis Shammai's opinion in the Gemara is that we light... I'll take some more. Beis Shammai's opinion in the Gemara is that we light 8 candles on the first night, 7 on the second night, and 6 on the third night, and so on backwards, if we light Mahadrim and Mahadrim in the perfect form. Beis Shammai gives a rationale for that, an explanation. Put it down, please. Beis Shammai gives an explanation for that. Why is it that we light 8 on the first night and 7 on the second night and 6 on the after that.
I gave your brother an alternative answer to that.
But what is the Beis Shammai's answer in the Gemara in Shabbos? Three words. That's not a good svara. That's the kasha on him. Yeah. It says, Keneged Pari HaChag, corresponding to the bulls that were offered on Sukkos. The bulls that are offered on Sukkos are offered in declining numbers. On the first day, there's 13, second day, 12, then 11, then 10, then 9, then 8, and on the seventh day, there's 7 brought. And since it declines, Hanukkah also should decline. It's a pretty esoteric reality. Like, okay, so what? Unless there's something very mystical about the connection between Sukkos and Hanukkah, and my brother explained it in his path about the notion of unnecessary gifts. But I'm not going to get into that now. For those who were here 10 days ago, that was what he said.
Well, but even, you could also, if it were the other way around, you could ask, why is it on Sukkos it declines and on Hanukkah it declines?
Not really, because Sukkos is almost 1,500 years earlier.
Yeah, but I mean the concept of using...
No, you have to... Oh, fine, Beis Hillel. You're asking against Beis Hillel. But it seems so far away. What does Sukkos have to do with it? So what's the secret of this? What do the bulls of Sukkos have anything to do with the nature of Hanukkah? I suggest you look at this, the following. How many bulls are offered on Shmini Atzeres?
Right. You said this before.
Yeah.
Because it's an intimate gathering between the Yidden and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a Yichud, right?
Very good. Very good. Very good. So let's flesh it out completely. You would think that after 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, and 7 have been offered, that in day 6, that in day 8, how many would come? Again, the series up until now has been 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. You should think it should be 6.
If you continued that series.
Though. Right, but it would stand to reason. Everything until then said, Uvayom HaShvi'i, 7. Uvayom HaShmini, on the 8th day, I would think 6.
But then you'd run out with 2 days to go.
You'd run out right away. You'd run out there. You don't have 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1. Oh, there's only an 8th day. But we have to understand, why did it start with 13 anyway? Mm-hmm. Where did it all come from? So the answer is that there's a very, very deep idea that there's only one bull offered that day. It's not 6, it's 1. There's a very deep idea in this one bull being offered. Because when you add 13 to 12 to 11 to 10 to 9 to 8 to 7, if you can do the math yourselves, it adds up to 70, 7-0. 70 is a number in Torah that makes an allusion of the 70 nations. There are 70 nations that are the principal nations of history that come from Noah. And these are the nations that are described as the Umos HaOlam, the nations of the world. Really, there never were 70 nations. Really, there always were 71 nations. But it's unbecoming for Klal Yisrael to be described as one amongst 71. You don't say, when you walk into a room and there's the king and 10 people there. It's inappropriate to say, there are 11 people in the room. You say, there are the king and 10 subjects. If somebody is in a different category, you don't say that they're part of this group because they're not part of the group. Yisrael is an elevated reality that never ever is counted as one of the 71. Yisrael is counted in a different way. The pasuk says, "Mi ke'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz." Who is like your nation Israel? One nation in the land. They are described as the one. There's the 70 and there's the one. There's not 71. Now, one second later. So much so that the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos early on, maybe Dafei, or Vav, the Gemara says that Hashem wears tefillin. I don't know what to make of that exactly. It's obviously an anthropomorphic notion. We can't really put our hands around that. Happy to supply you that word. Zev.
Yes, it means that it presumes he has an arm.
Right, or a
two
head.
Arms,
or a head.
And
a yeah, head. Right. So, but it says, what's in Hashem's tefillin? Gemara asks. So the Gemara says, just like in our tefillin, it says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hear, O Israel, Hashem is the one, is the only one. That's a description of love, affection, more than love, affection, that's the wrong phrase. It's a description of designation, of this, he's designated for us. He's the one, it's the only one we believe in. So the Gemara says, it says in Hashem's tefillin, Mi ke'am cha Yisrael, goy echad ba'aretz. Who is like you, Israel? Who's like your nation, Israel? One nation in the land. Like it says, Hashem Echad, it says, Goy Echad Ba'aretz, about the Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu carries with him all kinds of closeness to us, like we carry with Hashem, all kinds of closeness to him. Leah, do you wanted to ask something before?
It's
not fine. Okay, fine. So, the unbelievably deep secret about the one bull on Shemini Atzeres is that the whole Yontif of Sukkot, we offer animals that represent all the nations of the world, and we, Klal Yisrael, take responsibility for our role to bring about atonement for the whole world. And so we offer 70 bulls to atone for the whole world. As leaders of the world, we atone for those who are under us, as it were, in the world. And we atone for them. But the day, the eighth day, Shemini Atzeres, is called an Atzeres in the Torah. And on this, the sages say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, stay with me one more day. Kosha alai predaschem. Your exit, your taking leave of me is hard on me. Stay with me. So the Yontif Shemini Atzeres is a day where Hashem says, everybody I love, these are all my creations. You have to atone for them. But there's one more day. Please stop. You're distracting me and others. There's one more day. And on this one more day, I want you with me, Hashem says. Stay. Everybody else can go home. But kosh alai predaschem. It's hard for me to see you go. Stay with me, Hashem says to Israel.
He says that by Sukkot.
No.
Yeah, on Shemini Atzeres or whatever.
Shemini Atzeres, that's what I'm describing.
Oh, right, that's what I thought you said.
Yeah, that's what I'm describing. Shemini Atzeres, that's Shemini Atzeres.
So, he's doing it because Am Yisrael is special, or because it's a transition from the holiday that was 7 days, and this is somehow wrapping it up?
If it was just the wrapping it up, he would keep everybody around. It's the first point.
It's
Kosh Alai Predaschem. I want to be close to you. I can't see you go.
And I don't, the others can leave.
But others can leave, but I need to be with you. This is perfectly analogous, as Avigdor said, this is perfectly analogous to a wedding. Some of the most amazing sociological reality happens at a wedding. People invite people from all over the world, from all parts of their lives. It's very important to them that they come. They spend lots of money, even the chasen and the kala could themselves spend money to bring people in. Please be with me that moment. And so you end up with lots and lots of people, depending on the life structure. But always there's Li'ainar, lots and lots of people. Ultimately, to say to all of them, now go. Get out of here. What happens after, no one's allowed there. Only the Chassan and the Kala. The seclusion of the life that they're going to build together that begins with total privacy. Total privacy. You're not welcome here. Mom, Dad, thanks for coming for the wedding, but you're not welcome here. Okay? Now, you can be in all the pictures, and you can get everybody in the pictures, but not here. Shemini Atzeres is a day of Yichud. It's a day of seclusion between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. That's the essence of what Shemini Atzeres is, and it's actually, that's why it is the ultimate moment of the Yom Noraim, of the festivals of Tishrei. All of the shofar, and the fasting, and the lulav and the esrog, and the sukkah, they all lead to that moment when you don't need props. All you have is the reality of the beloved friends, Hashem and Klal Yisrael. That's all you have. And Shemini Atzeres has no special mitzvahs. Just like a wedding. Doesn't matter how much money you spend, and all the number of musicians, and all the beauty of the plates, and all the spectacular elements of the invitations, or whatever it may be. At the end, the seclusion part is, we don't need any of that stuff. It's totally unimportant.
Yeah, like, I don't get why they're so fancy. Like, I get it because, like, I just am supposed to get it. Because that's just
no, it makes sense because it does honor the majesty of the moment. But the ultimate majesty of the moment doesn't need any of that stuff.
I don't know. The whole point is that, like...
Okay.
Why do you spend so much money on one night?
Fine. I agree with you. Better than money should be invested in the life, not
a night. I was just going to say, why don't they just, the parents just give them that money for, like...
Great.
A house.
Deal.
That's joking.
So you can elope when you're
coming. Exactly. Deal. Struck right here. You guys are all witnesses to it. Okay, so now. So... That's the essence of Shemini Atzeres. Shemini Atzeres is really like the highest of the high moments between the Jews and Hashem. It's the moments after the wedding. It's the total, it's beyond the Yichud, let's be perfectly honest. It's a total bonding. It's total bonding. So now, that
is
said...
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Are there any brachas or prayers on Shemini Atzeres that
express this?
That?
No. This is all, this like a davar shel tznius, like anything that requires extreme modesty, you don't talk about what happens in the yichud. Also, there's nothing to talk about. Everybody knows what happens, but nobody talks about it. So this is all you have to peel off all the layers to see this. Okay, so this is the essence of Shemini Atzeres. It's found in these two words: par echad, one bull, the one bull. That's Klal Yisrael and Hashem. It's that one bull that we offer to Hashem. So what does all this have to do with Hanukkah? What has to do with Hanukkah is this. We start with a question. Why is Hanukkah 8 days and not seven? Let me explain the Beis Yosef's rationale that it could be seven. The truth is that Hanukkah could never have been seven. Because the gap between seven and eight is so dramatic that Klal Yisrael could not possibly have celebrated this Yontif under a banner of what I'll call for the moment sevenness. It had to be celebrated under a banner of eightness, as I will now describe. Don't interrupt. As I will now describe. Shemini Atzeres is this day that, as we said, it really should be described as day one of something new. Why is it an eighth day? If it's not the eighth day, it doesn't have six bulls. It's its own new thing. But the answer is that it is that thing that comes after the seven. And eight is always where we find things that speak to the lofty level of Klal Yisrael. The Mekubalim described seven as a completion of the physical world, and eight is described in three words: Lemala min ateva, above nature.
Is this in Brachos you're talking about?
This is not spoken of. This is, I don't know where this is spoken of. Really,
the Kabbalistic.
Yeah. So. Lamala min ateva. Eight is lamala min ateva. Now, where we first see it in Sefer Bereishis. Seven is the number of days of creation. 6 days of active creation, and the seventh day of inactive creation before you start a new cycle. But there still was la'asos, to make on the seventh day. Hashem made menucha, rest. Seven are the colors in the rainbow. One of the things that I find the most amazing things in the whole world is that a rainbow is a natural phenomenon. You would think it's like a very beautiful artistic description, but it's actually a natural phenomenon, right? You all know that, of course. And there are seven identifiable colors in it, and the range of light doesn't include more than those seven.
The creation in the rainbow would seem to not speak to what I was taking as sort of sevenness being mundane.
Okay, but we'll come back to it. I think we'll see. Yeah. It's all miracles. Everything that Hashem does is miracles, but some of it's in the natural realm. These are the natural realities. It's a natural reality is all I'm trying to say. There's another one, which is, there are seven notes on the musical scale. There isn't higher than the seventh or lower than the first. There, you have to move to a different, I guess it's octave. I'm not sure. I'm not a musical. I look to you, Yoni, for the answer to that. Something like that, yeah. Right? And it moves to a different place where now you're back in A. It only has seven within the sound. It only has seven. There are seven. This is what I mean by its first found in Bereishis. There are seven mitzvos given to the Gentile world. And then there's a first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael that differentiates Klal Yisrael and says to Klal Yisrael, Teva, the natural reality of completion is not enough. You have to be different. You have to be Lamala. You have to be higher. What's the eighth mitzvah? That newest mitzvah that Klal Yisrael is given after Noach is given seven. There's one. What's the next mitzvah given only to Yisrael? Bris Milah. Bris Milah is that thing where you say, you're perfect. I mean, perfect enough if you were just going to maintain being a regular person. One of the seven people. But to the people for which they belong in the category of eight, you have to come on the eighth day with the eighth mitzvah and elevate yourself and be different. Okay, does your question from before still apply?
I forgot what it was.
Okay.
Oh, no, now I remember.
Go ahead.
Why is it surprising that, like, isn't art based off of natural stuff? Like, I don't get why it's surprising that rainbow is natural.
No, I'm just blown away by it, that it actually exists in a natural reaction to the refraction of light. It's not that it's really surprising. It's just surprising to me. Like, it seems so...
fake?
Like, yeah, like somebody made it up.
Okay, I see. That makes sense.
But it actually is the existence of how light refracts. It's unbelievable.
That is weird.
Okay, it's incredible.
You could say that about so many things, though.
Yes, you can.
Like a human being.
I just want to give you an example of this, by the way, since we're talking about this point. One of the most magical places I've ever been in my life, maybe the most, honestly, is at, I don't know, what is the term called? The top of a waterfall where the water is beginning to fall has a name. Okay? At the, whatever the term is, of the lower falls of the falls, it has an upper falls and lower falls in Yellowstone National Park. There's a place called the Lower Falls of what I think might be the Yellowstone River. Okay. The Lower Falls, you can climb all the way down this path and you get to the Lower Falls. You can see the Upper Falls far away and it's already come down. But now there's a Lower Falls and you're right above the Lower Falls. And at all times, assuming it's not cloudy, there are two rainbows there. There's a double rainbow because of the nature of how the water's going down. There's a double rainbow. And it's always visible. I cried there. It was so unbelievable that Rabbi Shlomo made this picture. It was so beyond, so unbelievable. And he made it, by the way, he made it during the Sheishes May Bereishis. Anyway, you have to go there and you'll know God even more deeply, just by going to this place. It's absolutely incredible. So, Klal Yisrael is told, though, it's not good enough for you to be natural. You have to do something that you understand, that you're different. You have a calling. Yisrael is a calling. Yisrael is a vocation. Yisrael is a station in life that propels you out from the natural realm into some higher being. It's symbolized in this eight, that is the eighth mitzvah on the eighth day, Bris Milah. And it's not a wonder that Shmini Atzeres happens on the eighth day. There's two Yom HaShminis in the Torah. There's the eighth day of... There's actually three Yom HaShminis. It's interesting, I never thought about this before. There's the eighth day of Bris, by Yom HaShmini Yimol Basar Alaso. There's the eighth day of Shmini Atzeres, Uvayom HaShmini Atzeres Tiyelachem. And there's the eighth day, is Vayhi Bayom HaShmini, that it was after the 7 days of Miluim, the 7 days that prepared for the inauguration of the Mishkan, was the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, was the eighth day. So when the spiritual reality is lifted up and higher, and you have to take this notion of this holiday of the Yichud, of the seclusion, of the matrimony, so to speak, of Klal Yisrael and Hashem, where they are Chasan and Kala, is described in terms of eight. Now remember what we said before. We said before that the reason why there's no meals on Hanukkah is because they would be happy to let you live, but you can't live as a Gentile. You have to live as a Jew. So we don't have meals because we have to do things on Hanukkah that show that we're living as Jews. That we get the fact that we have an aristocratic class that is a station, a calling, a vocation, a responsibility to lift ourselves higher. So we have to do spiritual things. We have to see that although we look the same, we aren't the same. We have to do spiritual things, and therefore a meal would not be enough. There has to be learning and mitzvahs and whatever. It reminds me of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva was once threatened by a Roman officer who saw that he was teaching Torah in public and says, don't you understand you're going to die for this? And he said, you're like the fox who goes to the side of the water and sees that there are fish, and the fish are stuck between two nets. So the fox says, Mr. Fish, come up here and be on the dry land. And the fish respond to the fox and say, they call you the most clever of animals, you're a fool. So long as I'm in the water, maybe I'll be caught by the nets and maybe I won't be. But if I come on the dry land, surely I'll be dead. So that's what Rabbi Akiva was saying about Yisrael. So long as I'm learning Torah in public, maybe you'll get me, you'll nab me, maybe you won't. But if you pull me out from studying Torah and from teaching Torah, then certainly I'm dead. That's not a life. That's not who we are.
That's not true.
We have, it is true. We have, it is true. It is true. We have a station. We have a vocation. We have a responsibility. That's not life. For a yid, that's not life. Life is only, it's a semblance of life, but that's not life.
And that's why we're in private, though.
Because Klal Yisrael has to be committed to giving it over to the next generation. That's what Rabbi Akiva says is responsibility. And if not, then we won't have a life. So the same thing is here by Hanukkah. By Hanukkah, as we said, it wouldn't be enough to just be alive. It's only enough to be alive as a Jew, to sacrifice everything to serve Hashem. So if that's the case, it also has to be an eight-day holiday. It has to live in the banner of being eight, which is this Lamali Minateva that's expressed in Bris, and it's expressed in Shmini Atzeres, and it's expressed in Hanukkah, the same essence. They all have the same essence, which is that you have to see yourself as different. Now, here's the really deeply mystical part of the whole picture. I wish I had a whiteboard. It's okay. There used to be one. It's okay.
Once I remember, we were talking about Rishonim and Achronim or something.
Can I have a piece of that paper? Is there a free piece of paper there?
Oh, but there's one in the closet.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm going to write these letters down, okay, as large as I can, in square letters. It's kind of hard to see on this page. I don't know how well you can see it. It's kind of like this light pen, but you see that there's a three-letter word on the top, and there's a four-letter word on the bottom. Okay? Okay, Yaakov, how do you say seven in Hebrew?
Sheva.
Okay, so this word spells Sheva. I'm going to put dots so you can see that. Okay, I made them kind of larger. So Sheva. You see that? You with me there, Reb Zev?
Yeah, I'm trying to read the second one.
Okay.
Should I say it out loud, what I think it is?
Well, how do you, Yaakov, how do you say eight in Lashon Kodesh?
Is that what that was?
She Sheva. Shmona.
So, the mem looked like, I don't know what.
Yeah, fine. I agree.
I'm sorry,
No. It looks like my favorite Martian.
I couldn't read it.
Okay, yeah.
So the criteria isn't miracle versus mundane. It's this applies to everyone, but this is just for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Okay, so this says Shemona. Right? Everybody sees that. Okay, now I'm going to put the letters on the back. Same letters. This is an even worse job. Same letters. I don't know if you can see them because there's probably light refracting through both sides. Right?
That's okay.
Maybe it's better now. Okay, so you got the letters.
Don't you make a men like an N?
In written. I tried to do it as block.
Oh.
Okay. You want to make Nakudos?
Okay. Is it the same
Okay,
thing?
So now I'm going to make new Nakudos, okay? I'm going to make new dots. You can see it well. Oh wait, I missed one important part. Yeah, no, I get it right. Okay, Yonatan. What does the top word say?
Saveya.
Saveya. What does the bottom word say?
Shmina.
Shmina. What do the words mean?
Satisfied and fat.
Very good. Sheva, the word seven, means Saveya. Saveya ve'achalta ve'savata, which you started with before, means he ate and he was satisfied. It does not mean that he overate. It means that there no longer is a lack, complete. It's complete. But shmeina means overeating. Shmeina means not that I have everything that's needed here, but we have even beyond that which is needed here, is described in this word. These are the same exact words as 7 and 8. 7 at its core means everything's whole. 8 at its core means not just that everything's whole, everything is even more than whole. Lemala min ateva, above. That's what the notion of 8 means. And there's one more word that's closely connected to the word shmeina and shmona. Really fantastic. I'm not going to write it down. I'll just tell it to you. How do you say oil in Hebrew?
Shemen.
It has the same exact root as the word eight. Shin mem nun. Now what happens when you take two liquids and you pour them into the same cup?
They separate. Well,
no,
it's oil. It rises to the top.
If it's oil, it rises to the top.
In general, they mix. But if there's oil, then it rises to the top. Klal Yisrael's essence is that it is shemen. It's oil. Every other nation, when they mix together,
That's cool. They
just mix. But not eight. Not Yisrael. Yisrael is the shemen of the world. The same word for eight is the same word for oil. Is the same word that's beyond saveya, beyond complete.
That's cool. So it's like the eighth day. That's all.
That's exactly it. It's the eighth day. The holiday of the oil never could have been a seven-day holiday. It's wrapped up in its eighthness. That's the reality of what it means to be a Jew. That's the part that says they establish these days because it's only by an expansion of Torah that you separate yourself and you say, yes, I am a member of the world community. Yes, I am an American. Yes, I am an Arizonan. Yes, I am all these things, civic, whatever. But I am Yisrael. I have a calling. I have a station. I have a vocation. And it has to be expressed. It has to be that I live up to that. Life without living up to that station, it's not a life for a Jew. That's exactly what Hanukkah calls us to. To get present to being the oil. To get present to being an eight, not a seven. And that's why the holiday is 8 days and not seven. And I believe that's also where it's part of the depth of its connection to Sukkot. And so our responsibility going forward is to use this light coming from the oil to express it ourselves, to express in ourselves this reality of Lamala Minateva beyond the natural world. I have one little thing. A fire is a fascinating thing because it doesn't really fit the regular categories of matter in our lives. It's there, but what is it? Right? It's like it doesn't take up any space. It's like
light and dark.
It's not a solid. It's not a liquid. I suppose maybe it's a gas, but I don't really think that the fire itself is a gas, although I'm a little bit speaking out of turn. I don't know the science perfectly well. I can tell you something. Klal Yisrael is compared to fire. Torah is compared to fire. An amazing thing happens if you ever see a menorah that has a shadow on the wall. If it happens to be the light in the room casts a shadow on the menorah and there's a shadow on the wall from a menorah, and then you go ahead and you're looking at the menorah, it looks like that, it ends at the top of the arms. You go ahead and light the menorah, and the shadow doesn't change at all.
Does it?
You're saying there's no shadow of the flame?
There's no shadow of the flame.
I thought there would be, no?
How can there be? It's a light. We can understand the natural reality of why it is. It itself is light, so it doesn't cast a shadow. So, where is it? I see it there, but I don't see it here. It's Lamala Minateva, a little bit. It has a esoteric reality that's hard to deal with in regular physical terms.
It's like light and dark, how it becomes.
Right, like, what is it, right? Yeah. So it is, but it's like supernatural. And so that light of Hanukkah is a call to the supernatural, to live up to that. By the way, Yisrael really is this. You understand that we never get mixed into the nations if we're successful, and we have always been Lamala Minateva. The natural rules of how nations survive and disappear are violated by Yisrael in every generation. The history is violated. A nation is conquered and exiled and hated. They just get wiped out. But not call Yisrael. Because you can't do it to the oil. It's impossible. It's impossible. And that's our calling. Not just to be alive, not just to eat and breathe and drink, but to live as Yisrael with that sense of princely station and vocation and calling. And that improves the world, and that's the message of Hanukkah.
Can you give an additional answer as to what your brother asked, my Hanukkah, why it says specifically the candle versus the war? So he gave
candles
you
versus answer, the what?
Versus the war, the miracle of the war.
Oh, so in other words, the Gemara like, says that the Gemara, when it describes what is Hanukkah, describes the miracle of the candles. And Rashi says, what does it mean, what is Hanukkah? It means, for what did they establish the Yontif? What was the cause? Yeah, go ahead.
So your brother gave an answer, but saying like going to what you're saying now, you could say that it's the idea of being, you know, people of the eight would not be expressed if we just said the miracle of the war. It can only be expressed through the candles.
Right, very good. Very good. I'm with you. Okay, we'll stop here.
Shikaya.
Thank you.
I told you it would be a little bit on the mystical side.